This is a presentation of Dawn Forge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode number 328. Na 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 na, na 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 na, hey hey hey, goodbye. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABook. That's bit.ly/ATABook. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today's podcast is also sponsored by DogHost. Get great computers made by gamers for gamers at doghostsystems.com and use the code BACON for double the memory.
Alliance. Horde. Together, we drove back the Burning Legion.
The enemy is among you.
Together, we dethroned the Lich King.
Is it truly righteousness that drives you? I wonder.
Together, we endured the shattering of our world and vanquished the aspect of death.
I am the Cataclysm!
And together, as the mists of Pandaria part, we will encounter our greatest enemy.
I will show no mercy!
We need to stand together.
Ourselves. This is All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. And now your hosts, Medros, Nanania, and Ro.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I am your host, Medros, and with me I have both Ro and Nanania. How you guys doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Been a very interesting week. We did a special recording on Tuesday last week because, as our good friend Ro here has frequently predicted and been right, Blizzard tends to announce things that we want to talk about on Tuesdays, which makes me think that we should really turn the recording of this episode of the show to Tuesday, but then they probably just changed it to Wednesday for us. So,
I would actually have no problem if we switched to Tuesdays, because then I'll have to worry about a lack of sleep the following night.
But it's been Monday forever.
It has been Monday for a very long time, and it would take some work to get the time and stuff switched over for Tuesdays, but that is definitely something we might look into in the future if we wanted to.
Entirely understandable.
I am sad, though. I have tomorrow off, and they're doing a long maintenance tomorrow, so not very happy about that.
That's how it always happens. Just when you think, oh, hey, I'm going to have a day off, I'm going to spend a whole bunch of time playing WoW, that's when they hit you with that maintenance.
Well, I have more pets to level, you know. I'm not happy having just one pet, one group of three pets to wipe the floor with you there, Ro.
That's cool, I understand. Level as many to 25 as you need. I only need 3.
we'll see how that goes going forward. I do have some that I plan. So let's talk about how our weeks were. How was yours there, Ro?
Well, my week was not too bad. It didn't feel like a very busy week as far as World of Warcraft went. Killed Onyxia actually just about half an hour ago, and no drop. Got my monk to level 80. On the legendary quest for Ro, I am now a little over 5,000 valor into the part of the quest where Rathion wants you to earn 6,000 valor before you can proceed. So sometime into the next week, I'll be continuing on with the legendary quest there. And did some rare hunting and got a couple of nice little vanity drops. I got off of Eili Skymir in the, I think it's Dreadwastes? Pretty sure Dreadwastes. I got the Skymir, which basically you target someone and you turn into a kind of ghostly reflected image of them. Kind of like using the Potion of Illusion, but you can tell that it's not the same person because you're a bit faded out. And off of Saan Tidehunter, which is the Jinyu in Vale of Eternal Blossoms, I got the Aqua Jewel, which gives you 10 minutes of water breathing and 150% movement speed in water. The cool thing about that, though, is more than the water breathing and the movement, because I got that with Warlock underwater breathing, is when you use that item, you turn this really, like, translucent, ghostly blue image, almost like camouflage, but with a little bit of blue added to it. One thing I found using both these items, the Sky Mirror and the Aqua Jewel, so if you use the Aqua Jewel on yourself first, and then target someone and use the Sky Mirror, the combination works out so that you turn into basically a Star Wars-like blue holographic version of them.
Nice.
Which is kind of humorous.
Cool.
Besides that, the only other thing I did that was pretty exciting was got into some raiding last Wednesday, and the group that I've been with for the past several weeks back from their holidays and stuff and getting going. And I haven't really said a whole lot about what this raid group is or who is in it, because I've been kind of keeping it low-key. I'll go ahead and say a little more because it's been mentioned on another show. So, I am in a raid group with a couple people from the Instance podcast. And I wouldn't really call myself a permanent member, though who knows, I may be at some point, I don't know. But I've been tagging along with them, a great bunch of people from AIE there, and they're just getting started on the Stone Guard, really, so just working on Mogoshan Vaults from the beginning. And they've had a few attempts that haven't gone all that great the past few weeks, but last week they finally got Stone Guard down, and it was really exciting because right at about 6 or 7%, healers are going down, tanks are going down, and it was down to about 4 or 5%, and at that point, I think the only two people I saw that were up was Dills, who's a hunter, and myself, and we're just doing the best that we can to DPS the heck out of those things. The dogs are coming after me, Ice Soul shattered to drop threat, then the dogs are running after Dills, he feigns death, the dogs are coming back after me, and I just blow everything I possibly have left until I die. And then the dots that were left on the dogs was enough to bring them down. So what could have been a 1% wipe was actually a win. So pretty happy about that.
Awesome. Congrats.
Cool.
Thanks. That's pretty much my week.
Any loot?
Nothing for me. The funny thing is because I've been doing like different raids with different groups like kind of pugging in here and there the past couple months, don't really need too many drops out of normal Mogoshan vaults right now, but I'm just happy to be raiding, period.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you're able to get raiding and enjoy the game. I was wondering how it was going to take for us to mention who your raid group concluded, but
yeah, I wasn't going to mention it until they mentioned it on their show. Just a really quick thing. It's kind of an interesting experience because, like, yes, you know who these guys are when they're doing their show and stuff like that, and you can have a bit of fanboyism inside of you knowing that, hey, these guys are behind this really big show and stuff, but really, when it comes to just doing the raid, it's not really the podcasters. I'm just raiding with a couple players in World of Warcraft, and it's really just like that, so it's just a bunch of fun.
Awesome. Any guesting on podcasts this week for you?
I don't think so.
Ah, awesome. And how was your week, Nanania?
Boring. I didn't...
Well, that's no good.
Play WoW.
Uh-oh.
At all.
Uh-oh.
Do you want me to...
That's
not
good.
Do you want me to say it now?
Sure.
Or...
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, sure. Unfortunately, guys, because I'm not playing WoW, I'm going to leave ATA. I'm sorry, but it's just after losing my friends, and you know, I've said this a million times on the podcast already, after losing my friends that I've raided with for 3 years, I don't have any care to play it, and I don't think it's fair to you guys or Medros or Ro to have someone that doesn't play the game on the podcast. It doesn't make sense, and I don't want to have to come up with lies and stuff to lie to you guys. That's ridiculous. and I'm sure they can find someone way more suited for this seat than I am. So, but I'm not leaving totally. I'm staying with Dawnforge, and I am going to be hosting the Steamforge podcast like we announced last week. So that's going to be coming out real, real, real soon.
Yeah, hoping to have the first episode out in the next day or two, actually. Just kind of a introductory episode to give people an example of what they can expect. So we'll hopefully have that out soon.
I actually got a sneak listen of that, and I think it went really well, and I'm looking forward to hearing more from it. And, you know, Nana, there's really, honestly, there's nothing to feel bad about. World of Warcraft, for a lot of people, as old as the game is, for a lot of people, what they get the most out of the game is their friends and the community that they're around. It's not as much about the gameplay and the bosses, it's about hanging out with your friends. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
And, well, there is, you know, I've been playing MMOs for half my life. And I'm ready to move on. I don't want to go make more new friends and try and blend in with new guilds and new cliques and worry about raiding and loot and DKP or EPGP or whatever weird system they use. I want to be free of the MMO shackles, at least for a while. I'm not saying I'll never play an MMO again, because, I mean, come on.
Until Titan brings you back in.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Hopefully, I have at least 3 years then. Hopefully.
Probably.
Time will tell on how long that lasts. Well, I mean, we're glad that we could have you on the show for a little while, and the Steamforge podcast is going to be a lot of fun to listen to. Like everybody I've given the show to get their feedback and their thoughts on how the show sounds has said great things. And as the lead host of that podcast, I think you're going to do a great job. So,
thanks.
It's great to hear that.
I'm excited. I'm glad that I'm not fully leaving. You know, I'm just kind of moving over.
It's a sideways, transition.
Well, I guess technically I'm being promoted to main host. Technically.
Yes, that would definitely be true. And you guys go check that show out at thesteamforge.com. Like I said, the first episode should be out in the next 24 to 36 hours from when we're recording this. So by the time this is actually released, the show should already be out. And again, remember, it's just a transition. Like it's just an introductory episode. The first official episode number one will be a lot more, you know, polished and sound a lot better for those who are concerned about podcast sounding super awesome. So.
One thing real quick, GumGumBeGum in the chat said, Nana, if you can, try and make it suitable for EU viewers too. It's not going to be a live podcast yet, so it's suitable for everybody. It's just a podcast. So don't worry about being there live, because that's not happening yet.
You know, we'll probably even have a page there for people who want to give out their Steam IDs. My Steam ID is CDN Geek, if anybody wants to add me. I know my game list is not as extensive as some people I know, but I really enjoy Steam, and I'm glad to see that we can finally get the show off the ground, and I'm confident it's going to be a very popular show in the community, so definitely check that out. We're very happy to have such an awesome main host for the show, and Roland Dune as a co-host is going to be awesome as well, so...
And just one more thing, Nana, I just wanted to say congrats on the pay raise that you're receiving as being a host of a Dawnforge production show. I think you get triple the pay of being a co-host. Isn't that right, Medros?
3 Cinder Kitties. Yes!
yes, it is 3 times the amount of pay. You get 3 times nothing.
It's pretty simple,
yeah, man. Yeah, it's about 3 times.
Hester says I can confirm.
But we are very happy to see that you're still going to be with Dawnforge, just moving over to the Steamforge podcast. And like I said, Ro has heard the show, I've heard the show, and it was really, really awesome to listen to, and I'm confident that show is going to do really awesome. So definitely check it out, and I recommend listening to episode 1. There might be a giveaway announced at the end of that episode. Ooh. So... do check that out, and yeah.
So Medros,
we're very happy to
How was your week?
Oh, my week. My week was full of pet battles. Somebody posted a picture via Twitter to me a short time ago, reminding me that I challenged this person to a pet battle duel. And I realized that my pets were not nearly as high as they needed to be for this to happen. So,
you were motivated.
Yeah. I was definitely very motivated to get this going. And today I actually got my three pet team up to 25. They're all very awesome pets. I plan to have more. I want to have at least one level 25 of each different family. And I'm really excited to challenge Ro in our pet battle tournament. He says that he's happy with just having three. I would simply say that's a dangerous thing to do, because you never know what can come against you. But
to be honest, I'm probably just going to focus on having six level 25s. One thing I will point out to you, though, I did notice that one of the main people on your team is the Fluxfire feline.
Indeed.
I've heard whispers and rumors that that thing's going to get a little bit of a nerf hammer in 5.2. It's a little too good.
Yes, considering there are people out there with a team of three Fluxfire felines, I would agree. That's a bit too powerful. And like I said, that pet may be swapped out, or another pet may be swapped out. I'm looking for, you know, pets that are not like other pets in their family, because those are the ones that are going to be the strongest in your battles. I don't do a lot of, you know, theory crafting on pet battles, so it's not something I'm really focusing on too much. But I'm excited for it. It's a lot of fun. And I don't know how close it is to actually Pokemon, but it is something I've enjoyed doing, so.
Yep.
But yeah, what I've been doing is I'm going around to every zone that I can and trying to get at least an uncommon quality of every pet in that zone, if not a rare. And that's pretty much helped me level a lot of my pets. And I gotta say, the power leveling of a pet, you know, from very low levels all the way up to level, you know, 25, is going to be much easier now that I have some 25s to start off with. So my pet leveling should increase significantly over the next little while.
Sounds good.
But we do have some news to talk about. But first, a few, basically PSAs. Just to let people know of a couple of things that have been mentioned in the community. Not great news stories, but we want to make sure that people are aware of this. First off, you found, Ro, that Blizzard has introduced a way for folks to get support via web chat from Blizzard community customer service.
Yeah, this was just announced in the last about 48 hours. I think they announced it on Sunday, and they had a blog post put up about it on Monday. And yeah, basically, if you have an issue that you file a ticket for on Battle.net, normally, you would only have the option of waiting for the ticket to be processed, or in some cases, you would be able to call customer support and talk to them. Well, now, in general, during the time that their phone support hours are going on, they're also going to have live web chat. And I think we'll include a link to this information in the show notes, probably. But basically, it's going to make having your tickets being resolved probably a much faster and efficient process, I would imagine, both on the side of Blizzard and on the side of the people filing the tickets. I don't think the hours are changing that drastically, like the live web chat won't be a 24-hour service, but it's still a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. As somebody who does customer service as a job, it is it's good to see that Blizzard's moving towards that as well. I gotta say, this next post here, when I first read it, I didn't believe it. I was certain that there was something missing in the information, because it made no sense to me. I couldn't grasp what the heck was being said. But apparently, a level 80 paladin soloed Mogoshan Vault bosses using Vengeance.
What?
Yeah, a level 80 paladin.
Even my cat is like, what?
That blew my mind. But apparently this is a bug where Vengeance was not capped in what the benefits it would provide. And if you had just the right gear on, apparently this was possible. But it has since gotten... This has basically caused Blizzard to hotfix the Vengeance effect so that it will not be usable for something like this.
Now hold on. Step back a second. You said obviously this was a bug. I don't think so, Medros. Blizzard's not getting off that easy.
Game mechanics.
That's what it was. Blizzard didn't think forward enough. They didn't think that players would go to that length or that they would reach that high of a number, so they didn't cap it. They didn't think they had to. Not really a bug, per se.
Well, one of the things is that, and the way this, a good part of the way that this worked is that the epic gear that drops in the Jade Forest, some of it was wearable by level 80s. It had only a level 80 requirement, so some of that gear is what was used in order to do that content.
Yeah, I mean, let's not focus on semantics of wording. I mean, either way, it was definitely a major issue, and Blizzard rightfully, once it was pointed out to them in such glaring fashion, you know, fixed it so that this can't be done any further. But I gotta say, when I first read that, I was blown away. I couldn't imagine how a level 80 paladin could...
level 80, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're level 95 or level 100, I could see you soloing Mogoshan Vaults a raid, but I couldn't see it at level 80, who is 10 levels lower than the raid, is requiring. In fact, I'm not even sure how a level 80 could get into Mogoshan Vaults, because I thought that raids required you to be max level for that expansion. But I'm guessing there were several exploits or several errors on Blizzard's part that caused this to happen. But like I said, it's now fixed and it's not going to be happening again, though.
Well, here's the other thing that gets me. This happened like a month ago, except it happened in Firelands. A level 80 Death Knight did this. And he soloed, God, what was the name? Balrog, whatever.
Hero Balrog. Balrog, yeah.
And didn't get hotfixed. Blizzard was like, oh, look at that, cool. You know, clever game mechanics, he did it. But, oh, when they're baby, their new content gets soloed by level 80. Nope, nerf bat. Boom. Hits them hard. So, I don't understand why they didn't hotfix it back then. Because it was obviously flawed.
Probably because they weren't expecting a level 80 to be able to enter the current tier of content. And I forget exactly how they circumvented the whole restriction thing. But they probably weren't expecting the level 80 to be in those level 90 raids, and that's why they didn't even bother worrying about capping Vengeance. Now, as it is, the whole way that he soloed the content and stuff, capping Vengeance breaks the trick from happening, but it doesn't solve all the problems that are inherent with, you know, level 80s having absurdly high stats and mastery and haste and stuff when they're wearing gear that they really shouldn't be able to wear.
Kudos to Blizzard for finally fixing it, and also kudos to the person who found the issue and decided to show Blizzard, you know, what it could do. So I definitely give them props for having the temerity to actually do that. So,
I love seeing stuff like that in games. I just love it.
The next thing I want to talk about, as a quick mention here, Blizzard did reveal the total sales for the Cinder Kitty. $2.3 million. That's pretty awesome.
Should change the name of that kitten to Foo Foo McMoney Pants.
Oh, snap.
Apparently. But yeah, great to see that... the folks out there have supported the game and supported this cause to this effect. And, you know, we do hope that the Red Cross can use that to further help the folks who were impacted by Hurricane Sandy.
It's a lot of money. Can help a lot of people.
I'm not sure. There weren't any numbers or statistics, and I didn't actually look up past articles. Is this the most that they've raised with a charity pet? Do you know?
I don't know. Let me just try and take a look here. I do know they've done two previously, the Pandaren Monk and the Cinarian Hatchling.
Right.
Because I think the Pandaren Monk, I believe, was for... Oh, what is it? The Make-A-Wish Foundation.
And then the Hatchling was for the Tsunami.
Yeah, make the Pandaria Monk was $1.1 million, and then the Hatchling. Let me see here.
On the fly research, only on All Things Azeroth.
Oh, I'm sure there's other shows that do this, but
oh yeah.
Let's see, $1.9 million.
So yeah, this is a record
for Tsunami. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that the Tsunami one was 100% as well. So, yeah. I guess that tells how much people really enjoyed the look of the Cinder Kitty. I really kind of wonder, you know, if I could. I wish we could see the sales numbers for the pets individually and the mounts, and kind of see which ones are also you know more popular and so on. That'd be very interesting to see.
As a continuation of what we talked about last week, I bet you that the Swift Wind Steed doesn't even reach 500,000 in a month's time.
Oh, more like a year's time. Jeez, no one's going to buy that thing.
Well, let me give my perspective on that. You know, a week out. Been in all the big cities. I've been in Ironforge. I've been in Darnassus. I've been in Stormwind. I've been at the Alliance, you know, Temple in Valley, or the Vale of Eternal Blossoms. And I've been at Half Elf. I haven't seen one yet.
Wow. And when the Sparkle Pony came out, and when the Winged Guardian came out, when Heart of the Aspects came out, you saw those everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I do hope that that Blizzard does make some money off of this, or if they don't make that much, they at least kind of get a feel for what the community thought about it and how they can maybe improve the next one. DG says he just passed one at the Alliance Shrine for his server. So there are, I'm sure, some out there. But yeah, definitely not the sheer number of them as we saw with the past mounts and pets that have been on sale. The next thing I want to talk about is that Stormwind and Orgrimmar finally will get some repairs. It's only been a couple of years, you know?
Only.
It's not that long. But yes, the front gates apparently is where they're going to be starting off. So the front gates of Stormwind will be repaired. I'd love to have somebody on the PTR actually take a look. I want to see if the statue was rebuilt. That's in the
statue of Trollbane.
It is.
Yeah, because
awesome.
Yes. It was stuck on that little ramp for 2 years. And they just couldn't push it up. Poor dwarves.
I was actually wondering that because I do recall when we first saw the cinematic for Cataclysm, I recall seeing that that statue being destroyed, and I really wondered when they showed that they had repaired the top of the entrance there. I wondered if they had actually fixed the statue as well. So glad to hear they're doing that because you know the heroes of Warcraft 2 need to be acknowledged. I think so. As an Alliance player, I'm happy to see it.
So, I've spent a little time on the PTR, not as much as I'd like to, but I have been in Stormwind. And, yep, Friend of Stormwind, looks great, awesome, cool, great job. The park is still on fire, and a crater, and water, and...
Yes.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, the land is gone.
How many years does it take to tell the Stormwind Fire Department, get the buckets?
We're too busy with the Headless Horseman, man. Come on, give us some slack.
I'm sure that Blizzard could actually get, you know, some at least fires put out there. But I honestly don't know that they'll ever rebuild the park. You know, that was part of the land. It wasn't, you know, it's not just, you know, pour a little mud in the water and put a few buildings on top of it. You would need to significantly rebuild, and I'm not sure if that's a feasible option, but I would like to see something done there.
All I can say is we've seen what the Night Elves can do to Desolus. If they can change Desolus, the center of Desolus, from what it was to what it is now, then they can rebuild the park.
A fair point. How does Orgrimmar look? Is it showing some shine?
The scaffolding and stuff is gone. One of the banners looks better. It's all right. It's not really anything major. It's just the damage is gone, and if anything, it's a small nod that hey, we're moving on with the story.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. I mean, I you know, many Alliance players will remember a couple of things from the Alliance starting areas, such as the bridge in Red Ridge and the inn in Westfall. glad to see Blizzard's a little, you know, the repairmen of the Alliance are getting a little bit better at their, you know, work ethic, you know, 8 years versus two. Sorry, still bitter about the Westfall Inn that was constantly being repaired. And I gathered stuff for the bridge in Red Ridge, but it never did get fixed. Until Cataclysm, of course.
It's the Stephias guys, man. They're always on strike.
Yeah. Union issues.
Very true.
We need some scabs to fix it up.
So the next thing I want to talk about here is a little bit of a reminder for folks. You know, we look at, you know, Wowhead and MMO Champion and all these sites that data mine from the patch files for patches that when they go to hit the PTR. Not everything that enters the patch files is actually going to be coming in the game.
No.
Yeah, you know, green, what was it? Green water? No, that's not it. I can't remember what it was.
It was pink fire.
Yes, pink fire. There we go. you know, so, you know, I understand that everybody wants really cool stuff. And yes, there's some really fun stuff that's been data mined, but that doesn't mean we're actually going to see that stuff coming into the game. Maybe we'll see it eventually, but it won't necessarily be coming, you know, 5.2, maybe 5.3. Maybe they will delay green fire again until 5.3. We'll see.
I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't.
I do want to see some of this really cool stuff. It's you know, some really, really great stuff that I've seen in the patch files and the data mining that's been done. But it's really just a matter of Blizzard having the time to create that stuff. And that's really what takes the effort that Blizzard needs to be able to put in and make it awesome. They don't want to release something if it's not awesome, which is something that I think all players will agree with. Speaking of 5.2, we do have one other news bit here that I wanted to talk about, and that was that there will be no... let's talk about one of our sponsors first here. Let's do our first sponsor, Audible, and then we'll talk about our next story, because that's probably going to take a bit longer than just a PSA. But yeah, Audible is a great company. Like I mentioned in the last little while, you know, some of the great stuff that Audible did this past year, making all books one credit, giving the ability to return a book within a year if you didn't like it. I can't, you know, being in Canada, I can't return a book once I purchased it. I can't return a magazine once I purchased it, unless that came in a plastic wrapping that is not altered. That's the way copyrights work. Well, with Audible, I can return a book within a year. Even if I listen to the entire thing, I can return the book. Now, that's on the honor system. They don't want you returning every book you get and then, you know, constantly churning through books. But then again, once you return it, you don't have access to it anymore. So it's really a matter of whether that's something that is of interest to you. But we definitely want people to check out Audible. And, Ro, you have a great book pick this week, right?
I have a wonderful book this week. It's an oldie but a goodie. And what made me think of this was 5.2, actually, but this has nothing to do with World of Warcraft except, dinosaurs. since the Isle of the Thunder King is full of dinosaurs and great big dinosaurs and dinosaur bone collecting and all things dinosaur, is that a show title? I figured, hey, why not do something from Jurassic Park? So my pick is The Lost World by Michael Crichton.
Well, let's do a bit of a sample of that and see if we can get into a dino mood to talk about 5.2.
I mean, rocks at the KT boundary suggested that a giant meteorite, many miles in diameter, had collided with the Earth at that time. They theorized that the resulting dust and debris had darkened the skies, inhibited photosynthesis, killed plants and animals, and ended the reign of the dinosaurs. This dramatic theory captured the media and public imagination. It began a controversy which continued for many years. Where was the crater from this meteor? Various candidates were proposed. There were five major periods of extinction in the past. Had meteors caused them all? Was there a 26-million-year cycle of catastrophe? Was the planet even now awaiting another devastating impact? After more than a decade, these questions remained unanswered.
So that again is the book Lost World by Michael Crichton. You can find that and over 100,000 other books on Audible. Visit them at bit.ly/ATABook. And that's bit.ly/ATABook. And we thank them for the support of All Things Azeroth. So let's talk about upgrades, shall we?
Yes.
So 5.2 is going to see a bit of a change regarding upgrades. You won't be able to do them anymore. At least for now. Not saying they're only for good, but gear that is currently upgraded will remain upgraded, but you won't be able to upgrade any new gear during the 5.2 patch. The NPCs for that will be removed from the game in the 5.2 patch.
Yeah, you know, Nana, if you have any thoughts on this, you go first, because I'm probably going to rant.
I don't really have any insightful thoughts about this. Other than, you know, it doesn't make sense to give us something and then take it away like that. It bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that they are keeping up with the stuff they introduce now, like, you know, in like archaeology. Just saying. So it's good that they are aware of it, but at the same time, don't Indian give. That's kind of a bad term, but that's what we call it here in Missouri, because we're racist.
So here's the thing. I agree with you for the most part. Now, for myself, I've got an item level right now of 486, and I don't have any blues anymore. But the thing that bugs me the most about removing this NPC is that people that get gear from heroics, or when it comes to PvP from battlegrounds using honor gear, when this NPC is gone, not only are you taking away the ability to upgrade epics, you're taking away the ability to upgrade blues. That's what I have an issue with. Now, I totally understand not upgrading 5.2 gear right away. I understand the design choice there. You want people to work on using their valor to buy new valor pieces off the vendors. Got it. Perfect. Understood. But why punish the people who are trying to gear up alts, possibly, who are using what little time they have for their alts these days with all the time we spend on our mains, getting blues from heroics, and, you know, maybe they don't have their weapon from Raidfinder Terrace of Endless Spring after running it 4 or 5 times. Now, given Raidfinder drop rate in 5.2 for those older raids is supposed to be increased also, but that better be a very significant increase to help the people that are just entering into the whole raiding progression thing. It just... I don't understand the philosophy when they're talking about wanting to make things a bit easier for people with alts, and then they take away the ability to upgrade with justice and honor points. Valor and conquest upgrades gone in 5.2, got it. Just don't understand the other.
I personally have not upgraded a single piece of gear yet. I haven't gotten enough valor to even get all of the gear that I want off vendors. Primarily due to the alt thing. I mean, I've leveled now 290s, and one has, you know, my main has lots of revered but no exalted reputations. My alt has now revered with the Lion's Landing, as well as exalted with Tillers, but that's about all he's gotten on the rep. So there's not really a lot that has been done in that regard on my alts. But yeah, I mean, I've gotten a few pieces of gear here or there, but not any significant amount of gear, and definitely not enough that I would throw away valor on you know, upgrading gear that I have.
Well, sure, but I mean, let's be fair, and you've said this about yourself a few times on the show. You're not really a raider. You've done some Raid Finder content, and you've seen the raid content through Raid Finder. One of your main drives in World of Warcraft isn't as much the raid content as it is, you know, the lore and the story and the community, which is fine and great and awesome, and nothing wrong with that at all. For those who are trying to work on getting their characters more gear and getting them more raid progression ready, I can see a bit more frustration coming with the removal of the NPC.
Ghostcrawler did tweet out not too long back here, it looks like, some interesting information that people should probably take note of. He says that the 5.2 Valor Gear will require a rep, but is not a rep you'll earn from dailies.
That's interesting.
One would assume that the Shadow Pan Assault rep will be gained inside the raid by killing bosses and stuff like that. So I'm sure there's a lot of players who will be very happy to hear that.
Yes, the question I'm wondering is, will you be able to get Shadow Pan Assault rep through Raid Finder 5.2 or not? Because that's the only way I could see the larger part of the player base, the more casual player, being able to acquire this new Valor gear then. Because if you only limit Shadow Pan Assault rep gain to the normal and heroic raiders, then I could see a lot more of the larger, the casual raiding player base complain about that. So we'll have to see. We haven't heard one way or another about that. There's still a lot of things unwritten about the 5.2 patch.
And it's very interesting to see, you know, where this is going. You know, I'm sure that there are players out there who do raid who are very happy to see this, because, you know, there's a lot of players who were very unhappy about the daily to rep requirement. What do you think there, Nananio? What's your thoughts?
I don't play WoW.
Okay, well, if you
halfway
were
through
WoW
the podcast, I'm just
raiding,
like, nope, done. I'm done. Retired.
Well, if you were still playing WoW, what would your thoughts be? Like, if you were still in doing that at this point and raiding, would you be happy about?
I don't.
You know, rep through raiding,
yes,
instead of dailies?
Because I hate dailies. I hate dailies,
awesome,
so much. I would never do a daily again if I could. I quit Star Wars because I hit level 50, and guess what it was? Dailies. That's it. Dailies. Ah! So mad. Showed up pan rep. Hate it. Don't want to do it. Golden Lotus. I haven't even gotten a Shoto Pan rep because I can't get through Golden Lotus. So, I hate dailies with passion. It's not content to me. It's not content to me. So any way I could get the rep from raiding, I love doing that. I loved it in ICC. I loved it in Hyjal. That's the way to do it, in my opinion. Or at least give the players, like we talked about before, give the players a choice. That's what matters. So, if you don't like doing dailies, but you're still in a hardcore raiding guild, now you don't have to do the dailies. You can just raid. Yes.
We definitely appreciate your
okay,
your thoughts.
I'm out.
On
See
that.
You guys. I'm just kidding.
Even if you don't play WoW currently.
Just kidding.
You guys stick around for the next topic, because I think the next topic is definitely something you can chime in on.
Okay. I'm not really leaving. Come on. I'm not
I know.
Really leaving early. But you know when you punch out, you're like the last day of the job, and you're just like, man, I'm just out of it.
Last day of school.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're just sitting there daydreaming and watching the clock.
Like Rose said, this next topic is one that I really do want to get your opinions on, Nananya, because I think that this has at least some impact upon you not playing WoW currently, and that is that, you know, the idea that Cataclysm and people's reactions to it and the attitudes that it generated in the community ruining what Myst's potential is and the ability for it to be an awesome expansion. You know, you said that a lot of your friends didn't come back to WoW for Myst. Do you think that some of that may have happened due to people, you know, getting burned out and I guess, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Basically feel like they're not appreciated or that their work is not worth the effort required to play in Myst.
Oh, definitely. I completely agree with that. And a lot of it, they found a scapegoat with the pandas. A lot of my friends, they're like, oh, pandas. What a joke, right? Who cares about pandas? It's just it's going to be a kiddie MMO and they're going to cater to everybody. And, you know, they just, because of that Cataclysm, I'm going to say Cataclysm failure to keep them in the game. We didn't have that back in Wrath, right? After Lich King farming him for 9 months, we finally burnt out on it. And then we went back and did achievements. So we stayed together as a guild. Didn't happen in Cataclysm. Didn't happen with Dragon Soul. There was nothing there keeping us there. And it wasn't just we were tired of the game. We just... What to do? We don't want to do heroics, but achievements don't really seem that satisfying either. So we had this this mindset, like, I didn't really have it. I kind of had it. Okay, I had it. I didn't even buy Mists of Pandaria, guys. I didn't buy Mists of Pandaria. I won it on the live stream, the launch live stream. So I got lucky. That's the only reason I played Pandaria. Not because I didn't want to or anything like that, but, you know, it's a lot of money. I knew I probably wasn't going to play it that much because my friends weren't going to play it because they thought it was going to be like Cataclysm. So I completely agree with this, and it's sad. It is ruining Mists. And I'm going to take a little parallel here real quick, okay? It's a lot like Windows 8 launching. I'm serious because, God, they see that tablet UI and that's all they talk about. But it's so little. It's such a little part of Windows 8. And I'm not trying to be a Windows 8 fangirl or anything. I am running it and it's fantastic. But people, they just jump on the bandwagon. Like, oh, it's bad. I don't want it. Right? So we gotta stop this. Gotta stop it. Pandaria is good. It's really good. And I would continue to play it if I still had all my friends here. With their mindset of cat a bad, miss bad. They're not coming back.
You know, I know a lot of players who, you know, miss, you know, Cataclysm and their experiences in Cataclysm did ruin WoW for them. And, you know, as a player, that saddens me because I've had nothing but fun in Mists. I you know, I don't deny that I did stop, you know, or I did not stop, but I lessened my playing of WoW for a little while during Cataclysm, and primarily that was Star Wars attracting me, and I really wanted to try it out. But also, there was nothing bringing me back to Cataclysm. It wasn't the expansion I wanted to be. It was a necessary expansion. You know, if they could have introduced that and an expansion on top of that, that'd been great. But that what they did there with the Cataclysm and the old world, that required a lot of work. And I am glad to see that Blizzard is returning to a cohesive area for content instead of, oh, I need to go from Twilight or from Uldum in northern or southern Kalimdor all the way over to Twilight Highlands in central Eastern Kingdoms. That's a lot of, you know, work and effort just to travel from one questing area to the next. Mists definitely has that beat, and you know, that's just the top of my head thing that really annoyed me about Cataclysm. There's a lot more.
Yeah, Cataclysm was super disjointed, and Mists is fantastic. I love when a game. I said this about Dark Souls a lot when I was streaming it. I love when a game world is connected. Where you can go to one zone and you can see the other zone. It's not all instanced. It's not teleport everywhere. And that's what Cataclysm was, teleport everywhere. And Blizzard knew that. They've said it. Ghostcrawler said it on our interview with him. That was a big, big change that they wanted to make everything seem more cohesive. But you gotta give it a chance, guys. Everyone here is giving it a chance, obviously. I'm sure you all play WoW. But if you're listening to this podcast and you used to play back in Cat or even Wrath, you guys have to give Mists a chance. You can't just dismiss it. Like, it's bad without playing it. That's a life lesson. You don't say no to something unless you try it, right?
Yeah, very true, very true. What do you think, Ro?
I was wondering if people in chat room were going to be like, did Ro die? He hasn't talked for over 6 minutes. What the heck's going on?
Are you keeping a timer?
I was actually looking at the recording, seeing, you know, how long we've been talking. So I was like, wow, this is the longest I've gone on a show without talking. That's amazing.
High five.
Right. Anyway, just really quickly, the interesting problem of being bored at the very last patch, you know, with Ice Crown at the end of Ice Crown Citadel and at the end of Dragon's Soul. I think the biggest challenge for Blizzard lies ahead in the time between the last patch of Mists of Pandaria and whatever the next expansion is. Will they run into that problem again? Have they created enough content now, and will they create enough content between now and that last patch that people will not feel bored again? That's going to be their greatest challenge. One thing that brought up, you know, wanting to discuss this whole Cataclysm attitude, ruining Mists of Pandaria, another thing to consider is that in Cataclysm, and Olivia Grace wrote this up on WoW Insider, in Cataclysm, because there was so relatively little to do, it gave players more of an opportunity to spend time doing things on a number of different characters and alts. So alt play was a lot more accessible for those who decided to play that way. Now with Mists of Pandaria, those players that are used to playing all of those alts are now in a position where, with all of this content that you want to do on one character, it's creating a lot of interesting friction. And in some cases, grumpiness. People want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to have their loads of content, but they also want to have time to play all their alts at the same time. So, that's also another interesting dilemma from the pendulum swing that Cataclysm to Mists of Pandaria has been.
Well, I see no ground under that argument, honestly.
Oh.
You guys are complaining about having too much content that you can't play your alts?
Yes.
My head is exploding right now. You can't see it. I wish you could hear it, but it's exploding. That is ridiculous, because you will have time to go through that content later in the downtime.
Oh, but there everyone wants...
There always
people want it
downtime.
All now. That's the thing.
No! If you have it all now, then what comes later?
Exactly.
If you have everything right now, today, tomorrow, mm-hmm. what happens?
I hear you. Then we're back to where we were with at the end of Cataclysm and Lich
right.
King. Yep.
It's okay to spread it, you know,
slow
over time.
Now.
Exactly.
See, here's the thing, okay? If I was to want to power a character to get as much gear as I could, it would require doing a lot of dailies on that character. Well, I don't even have any characters currently that are exalted with all of the factions that can be exalted with, never mind the one that came with 5.1 and the ones that are coming in 5.2, because there's two reps apparently coming in 5.2. I mean, I imagine you'll have Sun Reavers or Kirin Tor rep, as well as the rep that you have currently coming with the raid part of that, which is the Shadowpan Assault, I think it's called. You know, I want to get my characters progressed, but there is a lot of content, and it is very difficult to actually get through that content on one alt, never mind two, beyond, you know, and to have the time to do dailies, do my farms, try and get my second 90 through Dread Waste, which he actually dinged in Kunlai, so he has not done any of Town Long or Dreadwaste on my second character. And then also have time to do pet battles and archaeology and professions, and then actually get to one of my other four alts that are still in the process of getting to 90. That's a lot of stuff to do between, you know, in a couple of hours that I have per day to actually play WoW. You know, in Cataclysm, you know, that is one thing that was good. There was time between patches, and patches didn't introduce the level of content that we now have. I didn't have a Lion's Landing in 4.1 to wrap up with. And, you know, in 4.2 there was the Molten Front, but doing that on all of my characters even back then was a bit of a hassle.
Okay, right there.
And I ended up only doing it on two or three at a time.
Yes, exactly. I was going to bring up the Molten Front because that thing was annoying as crap, right? Especially to do it with alts, because you had different tiers.
Yeah.
It's no different right now with the dailies you need for rep. It is the same thing. So that should be your gripe. Dailies. The dailies are holding you back. It's not anything else. It's the dailies that take so much time and so much grind to get you to that next level. And what I said earlier, dailies aren't content, so you're being stuck with homework, pretty much. You're being sent home with homework, and you have to do your homework to get a good grade. And that's not good for the game. If they put the rep in the raid, then you're not going to feel bad for not having the rep when you go to the raid, because you can't get it unless you're in the raid. So that it just frustrating. Even though I don't play, it's frustrating.
Well, glad to see you still have opinions on the game, even though you have unsubscribed. But yeah, I mean, each expansion is different. You know, Burning Crusade didn't start with dailies. Those came in a patch. Since then, we have had different ways of doing dailies and different limitations to doing that. But it has kind of really shifted over time. I will admit, I absolutely love the idea of having patches as frequently as we're going to be having them for the miss, you know, era of WoW. But my alts don't like that, because they aren't going to be leveled until probably sometime in 5.2, because I'm not going to be doing raiding, and that's going to be the, I'm hoping, the main content of that expansion or that patch. But if it's another rep to grind and more work to do, you know, that might slow even further the leveling of my alts. You know, I don't know a lot of people who have, you know, several 90s that are repping up and stuff, who don't have a crap load of time on their hands, which I don't have.
Quit your job. Quit your job equals more alts.
One moment, let me get my wife, and I'll see. I'll let you tell her.
No,
that.
Okay. No, no, don't. Okay. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm ready. Bring her on.
Yeah.
I'll snap my finger. Do the neck thing.
And I will have to censor the show. But really, I mean, it is a very different game that we're playing in Mists. And, you know, what you said earlier, that a lot of people see pandas and they use that as possibly an excuse to not play. I agree with that. The number of people that I've talked to who played WoW before and quit during Cataclysm and have not come back, the number of those who blame, quote, the Kung Fu Panda expansion is incredible. I would say probably a good 90% of them are blaming pandas. And somebody in the chat room earlier said the one thing that I try and remind all of them of. You don't have to play a panda. You have to interact with them, but you don't have to play one if you don't want to. You know, if you didn't like the Draenei in Burning Crusade, you didn't have to play one of those either.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of different ways to go about your gaming. If you don't like a part of the game, I don't like raiding overall, you don't play it. That's why you have so much content, so you can choose what you want to do. You're not forced to do anything. And that's what some people really don't get.
You're not forced to level alts, just saying.
You're right, I'm not. I choose to.
I'm kidding with you.
And the amount of dailies does make that harder. But yeah, I'm confident. The similarity between the Chen Stormstout character in Warcraft 3, which was, what, 10 years ago now that they developed that, and the pandas now, I don't think that they're actually based around Kung Fu Panda. Some of the lines maybe, but overall it's not actually that connected as some people seem to think it is. And yeah, you're right. A lot of people blame it.
I think Kung Fu Panda is based on Warcraft.
That could be possible. I don't recall. I've never seen the movie, so I don't know if the character in that movie did drink any ale, but that was definitely something that Chen was known very well for. And yes, you're right. Correct. I've never watched Kung Fu Panda or the sequel.
You need to have some kids.
Medros, I need to ask you a really off-topic question.
Sure, go ahead.
Have you watched The Goonies?
Yes.
Okay. For those who listen to another podcast, you may understand the relevance of that question.
I am in my 30s. When I was younger, that was the movie to see. So yes, I have seen Goonies. Don't know the reference, but I've watched it.
I'm just kidding.
But let's get on with our next thing on our list here, which is doing the trivia. And I want to let everybody know, for those who were watching Ro's Twitter earlier, his question doesn't actually have any part of our question today. So,
yeah. Well, the thing was, while I was trying to figure out a trivia question to ask, I was reading up on Shade's article on WoW Insider about the Blood Elves and basically their developing position on their relationship with the Horde and the Alliance then and now. And one thing that reminded me was that there's a line that Lord of the Martharan says without giving too many spoilers, when he says, "Get me my blades, the next move is mine." And I'm like, blades? I thought he only has one weapon. So then I tweeted a question asking Dave Kozak, so he says blades, what's his other weapon? I never got an answer about that. Anyway, so yes, Shade's Know Your Lore article was about the Blood Elves, and I have a pretty related question to the Blood Elves. As you know, the Blood Elves weren't always Blood Elves, they were High Elves. And for a time, they were part of the Alliance, but things didn't go exactly as you might have wanted them to go. A member of the Alliance ended up basically really ticking off a good portion of the Blood Elves following that, during the whole events of Warcraft 3 and such. And I'm not going to name who this Alliance character is, because that might give too much away. If you know who the character is, I want to know what the hometown of the Alliance Grand Marshal that earned the Blood Elves' hatred and distrust of the Alliance was during the Third War. So if you're a Warcraft 3 buff, you'll know this. Otherwise, you're going to have to Google it up.
It's a good mission.
Yeah, that was actually a very fun quest line in Warcraft 3.
I want to say it was during the Undead part.
That character has ties to the Undead storyline, for sure.
Oh, no, it was during the...
God. It's a toughie.
I'm going to have to go play it again.
Should we talk about another sponsor while we're waiting for answers?
Yeah, I just want to quickly check one quick thing to see if knowing one piece of information would help me get the answer. Yes. Okay. So knowing that one piece of information would have helped me get the answer if I wanted to. But yeah, let's talk about our other sponsor, which is, of course, the great folks over at Doghouse. Doghouse Systems are great gaming PCs. They are made by gamers. They're tested stress tested to make sure that gamers can use them on whatever game they want. And it is absolutely the best type of gaming computer you can get. I definitely recommend it. And if you use the code BACON over at DoghouseSystems.com, you'll get basically double the memory on your computer. So definitely check them out. That's, of course, located at DoghouseSystems.com. And let them know that you heard about them from All Things Azeroth by using that code BACON for your system. So I don't see anything to answer yet.
Okay. In that case, I'm going to go ahead and give the chat room... one more piece of the puzzle. I'll go ahead and give the name of the Alliance Grand Marshal, and that might help you guys find it a little faster. So, the name of the Grand Marshal of the Alliance Remnants was a guy by the name of Garethos, or to be more specific, Grand Marshal Othmar Garethos. So I want to know what his hometown was. Not Nomergon.
Got it. I win. No one's been born in Nomergon for how long? 400,000 years.
And that took all of 30 seconds after you gave that hint for somebody to get with the answer.
And that's why I didn't say the name.
Indeed. So the winner is Gamer Timmy.
You said it right. Good job.
Grats.
So you do win a prize, and the prize this week is donated by a listener named Kazoo, which the prize is a Soul of the Aspects pet code. So I'll message you for how to get that code, and We'll get that over to you right away.
Congratulations. I'll have to go a little easier on the chat room next time.
I think you should make it more obscure. Like the most obscure thing ever.
This is an obscure cast now, come on.
Make it like really obscure, and then just keep the surprises stacking up each week. That's how I'd do it.
Steamforge. A rolling jackpot?
Rolling jackpot.
Well, how about we go to our question of the week from last week? What do you say, Medros?
Absolutely.
Don't ask Nani anymore.
I didn't mean it that way. Come on.
I'm just kidding. I love you guys.
And somebody does not have the question of the week from last week.
I have it. I'll just go ahead. So last week, we asked you guys which racial leader of the Horde or the Alliance besides Garrosh would you replace and why? And while we didn't get as many responses as we did with the New Year's resolution, we still did get quite a few, and I think we should have enough time to tackle all of them. Nanania, do you want to read the first group there?
LeGrayson said, I would replace the Blood Elf Magistrate with someone who has a backbone. Ouch. Poor Blood Elf.
That's funny, because Lorthamar actually has more of a backbone now.
I know, he's kind of a... I don't want to say. At Mike Stopcast, I'd bring back Magni Bronzebeard to replace the Council of Three Hammers. I think it would all work better in IF like that. Poor Magni, man. Turned into diamond.
Except, you know, there'd only be the risk that somebody would come along with a mining pick and decide he was, you know, better on a ring instead of on a throne.
But... I think he meant heal him of his affliction first, but maybe right. But just put the statue on the throne. That'd be good.
Magniite?
At Luna's Saint,
chat room.
I'm wondering how long it'll be until Sylvanas gets too big for her boots and various other characters want her dead. I think that's already happened.
I think a lot of people already want her dead.
It's just that Garrosh is a bigger target right now. And so once Garrosh is gone, I think people will start looking her way.
MacGyver said, Gallywick sells his race to slavery, then tries to destroy them, then made the leader now absent? Disgraceful. Totally. Totally, Gallywicks. And Matt Periolots, I'm saying it wrong for sure. From a story perspective, either Gen Greymane or something with the dwarves ruling council would be most interesting. Dwarves for me.
Cool. Do you want to get the next four, Medros?
R Panda Girl, I guess, says, the Council of Three Hammers, can they really accomplish anything? I think they can. Sometimes. Erlina Hunter says, Gallywix, after trying to sell his people to slavery and all, I'm surprised he's still in power. With the hashtag of Thrall went too easy on him. Can't disagree with that. DG of the Group Quest podcast says, Boss Maida her tallness to replace Gallywix as trade prince. More women leaders, more awesome leaders. Gallywix is a jerk. Common theme about Gallywix being replaced, I think, in this list. Ice Snake 1950 says, Varian Rin because he's a douche. How would you get the last section there, Ro?
All right. At Melinir said, I would replace Sylvanas. She's much too dangerous for pretty much everyone who's not undead. Fair enough. At Zargo Radio said, just had to answer question of the week. I think it's time for Anduin to rule. Varian doesn't know what's going on anymore. Hashtag Anduin for Stormwind.
Oh my god.
I find that tweet interesting. Because I thought Varian really knew what was going on with 5.1. But hey, I don't play Alliance often enough, I think. At Stormraiser 1 says, Lilian Voss is a new Forsaken leader. Get rid of the Psycho Elf, lol. I completely agree. At Razorbug at RZBG said, replace Stormrage. He ignores his people in danger, ignores his wife, and is all around uninteresting and annoying.
But yep. He's not the leader.
With Stormrage? Well,
I think... Yeah, he's not.
Well, aren't they kind of like co-leaders, really?
No one leads Darnassus.
According to the kill faction, kill achievement, it is Tyrande that is the leader of the Night Elves.
Yeah, fair enough. He's
the leader of Druids, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's the head of the Cenarian Circle, who are, you know, based there. well, actually based more in the Moonglade, but...
Well, I'd say we replace Stormrage anyhow.
All right. So next week question, which I have put in the into the show notes here, is what is your favorite pet in the game right now to go along with our pet battles tournament that we announced last week? I want to get your thoughts on what your favorite pet is. And this is your go-to pet. If you're going to a battle, you only have one pet to choose. What would you choose? And we look forward to hearing your answers.
Should I give my answer?
Sure.
You first.
Me first?
Yes.
I'm going to say I like my Cinder Kitten. I also like my baby Blizzard Bear that I just made into a rare instead of the or uncommon that it started out as. But my true favorite, the one that I would love to have in every battle, currently, has got to be the Fluxfire Feline. Even before its nerf, of course. Which, come on, everybody knows is coming.
Yep.
Before Blizzard even said anything, they knew it was coming.
For myself, I'd have to say the Core Fire Imp, which you can get out of the Molten Core raid off of, I want to say, Magmadar? I think that's the right one. The Core Fire Imp, what I really like about him is that he has the ability to hurt machines or critters with his first ability. The ability that hurts critters, now he's a humanoid type, so he takes less damage from critters, and his bash ability is strong against critters, so when it comes to going up against critters, he's a critter fighting machine. He also has the ability to cast Immolate, so it's like a 9-turn dot that you don't have to worry about putting on a target. You can just set him, you can set the imp on fire, put him on the back line, and let the damage keep on ticking to whatever enemy is out there. That's really helpful for those pesky enemies that put up, like, you know, shields that block the next attack or such, because that dot tick will take that off. And just finally, he has Cauterize, which is a self-heal. So he's kind of an all-around great battle pet and is a critter-killing machine.
And Anania, how about you?
Bulbasaur.
Bulbasaur. Good choice, good choice.
I really like his Vine Whip. Mm-hmm. And Leech Seed is so good. It can get you out of so many things. And it kills the enemy. So Bulbasaur... He's really good.
I've always liked Ditto.
You know, Ditto, he's not very high tier.
you guys know what the funniest thing is?
What?
The only reason I recognize these names is the Weird Al Yankovic song.
He did a Pokemon song?
He did.
He did.
Let me get the name here.
I tried to be as serious as possible when I said...
Yeah, Pokemon.
Just called Pokemon, okay.
No, Pokemon. P-O-L-K-A-M-O-N.
Pokemon.
Of course yes. It is. Perfect.
The lyrics are basically a list of, I believe, every Pokemon that was out at the time.
Awesome.
Definitely check it out. I'll actually put this link in the show in the chat room for anybody who wants to look at the lyrics for Pokemon.
Zubat. I really like Zubat.
Yeah, that's on the list here, too. Yeah, everyone you've mentioned has been on the list so far, so. I don't know anything about them, but I just know them from the song.
Well, I don't know any WoW pets, honestly. I don't know any moves. The highest pet I have is level 3 Little Terragosa. That's it. Everything else is level 1. So I like Little Terragosa.
Okay. Alright. Glad to hear it.
My cat. Can I use my cat in a pet battle? Come on.
No. No, sorry.
Use Meow Attack. Go. He did it.
Sorry. Yeah, let's do our wrap-up here, because we're getting a bit long here. So, who wants to do the outro? Do you want to do one last time there, Nadania? Sure, go ahead.
Please, please, please do this. I haven't gotten to hear one of these ever. Please send us a voicemail. The number is 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. Emails for the show at allthingsazeroth.com. Medros is Medros at allthingsazeroth.com. Ro is Ro at allthingsazeroth.com. And I'm not saying my email. Twitter.
Well, why don't you give your new email?
I will. It's Nanania at thesteamforge.com.
Excellent. Continue.
Okay. Twitter, at All Things AZ, not All Things Arizona. That's All Things AZ for Azeroth. Medros is at Medros. Ro is at Ro Wow. I am at Nanania Wow. And you can reach Dawnforge Productions at Dawnforge. Check out the other amazing shows from Dawnforge Productions: Group Quest, All Things Edible, Halfway Around the World, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, The Chaos Portal, and the Steamforge Podcast.
I have one question for you. Now that you're pretty much, at least for now, done with World of Warcraft, are you going to change your Twitter handle to at Nanania Orcs Must Die? Or at Nanania Steam? At Nanania, I don't know.
Well, see, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be really sly about it, all right? It's not going to be Nanania Wow anymore. It's going to be Nanania Wow.
See?
Wow, it's Nanania.
You know, I really wish sometimes that you could, like, petition to have somebody lose the rights to a name that they have reserved, because the person who has Nanania on Twitter without the Wow hasn't posted since June of 2009.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I have a similar problem with Ro.
I had that problem on YouTube. I was just going to make it Nanania. Guess what? Didn't happen. So, everything's Nanania Wow. But it works, because it's Nanania Wow.
But Nanania, I have one small issue here at this point.
Okay.
You made so many mistakes during that, I can't let you come back on the show again. I'm sorry.
Ever?
I'm joking.
What if I restart WoW?
The tribe has spoken.
If you restart WoW, we can consider having you back on the show, but you may need to provide a sample of your audio.
Oh, no.
I'm joking. But I do want to thank you very much for coming on the show for the time that you spent with us. We do look forward to hearing you on the Steamforge podcast, which I believe I'm still going to be on tomorrow. We'll see. If they still want me on in the morning, of course.
I'm sorry, you messed that up too much. I can't have you on.
Oh, touche.
Medros
owns me. You'll
have me
on and you'll enjoy it.
Right.
That's all I'm going to say. Again, thank you very much for giving it a try and coming on the show. We really did enjoy having you on, and we do hope you enjoy the Steamforge podcast and rock that as much as you rock the show.
I just want to say a few things. Sure. I know I said my piece earlier, but I really, really, really enjoyed this podcast. I'm so happy that you took a chance on me and that Ro suggested me to you. It really means a lot. I love podcasting. You guys are fantastic. And meeting everyone in the chat, everyone that subscribed to me on Twitter, I see so many WoW names that I never saw before. So I kind of lost touch with the WoW community. Now you've thrust me back into it, and now I'm leaving you guys again. But I still am very passionate about WoW. That's never going to go away. Even though I'm not motivated to play it right now, you know, things change. 6 months from now, I may be playing WoW again. You never know. So, guys, keep in touch with me. Go listen to the Steamforge podcast. I'm not going anywhere. So, I love you all. You're awesome. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. And, definitely go check out the Steamforge podcast, guys. Steam is an awesome platform. You know, anytime they have a big sale going on, my Twitter is flooded with people talking about the sales and making me go buy games. Damn you, Damurai. We really enjoy doing the show. The show is great, and I look forward to some great things out of that. And if you ever do rejoin WoW, we'd be happy to have you back on.
I'll come back in a guest capacity for sure.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap up the show for now. We'll be back next week. Our guest next week will be WoW Martian Joe from the Twitter videos. I'm sure he'll be happy to talk to us about all the videos he's doing and all the stuff that he's got planned. And about the latest WoW news. So do join us next week, and we look forward to seeing you then. So take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the show. Yes, I'm not that creative today, sorry.
This has been a presentation of Dawn Forge, copyright 2013. Find great podcasts and more at thedawnforge.com.